Yes, indeed. Okay. You going searching, Ling?
Yeah.
Go for it. Is everybody comfortable enough in here this evening? Is it too warm, or are you?
Obviously, Mark and I are too warm. We keep asking. Everyone else is okay.
Okay.
What a friend.
I'm
going to
do
all of
this stuff.
Hands
on me.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Where were they? Oh, they came by the USA, but we remained in Pakistan.
Oh,
they're nice. They're substantial.
They're so
made in Pakistan.
Obviously,
hey, do you know what?
I had a postcard in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, at time, and it had been printed in Ireland. So.
And Ling, whenever you go to China, you look for things from Northern Ireland, don't you?
Hard to find.
Whenever we go to America, I look for K-Bar, Smith & Wesson, Maglites. You would be surprised.
When I look for something, I have to try to avoid something made in China. You know, if I bring something and go to China, oh, made in China. You know, people like something from abroad, from other country. Even they know.
Yes. Not the same. That's why we did dairy crystal for a long time. They were taking pieces of crystal across to America. Paperweights and wee Bible verses, because they were just made over in the craft village, and I knew the guy from working on his computer. So anyway, that's all recorded. If there's anything that you don't want going live around the world, let me know and I'll cut that all off before we publish.
Well, maybe eventually.
All right. Okay, let's pray. Are you okay to pray for us, Steve? Are you okay to do that?
Heavenly Father, we give thanks again, Lord, for the things you've done for us this week. And Lord, for keeping us safe, protecting us, and Lord, just blessing us with all the things you bless us with. Lord, we praise your name, Lord, and give thanks also for being able to come here tonight and put the world aside just to spend time with you in your presence. Lord, I ask, Lord, if you will, just bless each one of us here today and our household as well. Lord, that you will keep us in your care, Lord, and you grant each one of us our need to come to thy holy will. Lord, please bless Israel at this time. Lord, that you would just once again grant peace in Jerusalem, Lord. Put a stumbling block, please, before the enemies, as you did before in days of old. Defeat the enemies on every side, Lord. Let them see that they're still your children, and you're still the God that does miracles. Lord, please save souls. All those, Lord, who have heard your word, who have received tracts, who have received messages or anything, Lord, that's gone out, Lord, please, let them think of you in these dark days, Father. Oh, that they were just convicted to repent and get saved. Even those who are not with us, Lord, I speak of Christopher and Taylor, as they are on the running room, Lord, that you would just bless them and keep them safe as well. And please, Lord, bring them back safe to us. Let's also remember Mahomes, Carol, John, Steve. Lord, you know what's going on in their hearts and minds and the wickedness thereof. Please, Lord, sort them out. So let them see sense, Lord. Just help see instead of pondering to these wills. Lord, you know what to do, Lord. Please do it. Get them back on their feet and straight out again. Be with Esther too, Father, and Lord, just lay your hand in touch upon her. Strengthen them both physically and spiritually. Keep her safe too while Christmas is away. Lord, if it be your will, you bring her out sometime at the next appointed time. Be with Beth, the Lord grants us wider doors, Lord, and souls to come in. In the spirit of your word, Lord, let us grow in number and strength, if it be your will, Father. As we give thanks to you and praise to you for the servant tonight of your word, and the reading of your word too, Father. and be acceptable before you, Lord, the tithes and offerings as well. In Jesus' name, please, Lord, save souls. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Just give me 2 seconds. I just want to check and see what's going on out there.
I can hear voices.
Oh, there's somebody in the sea, lots of stuff rattling around.
Maybe that's that minibus. Do you want me to go out on that?
Maybe in there with the horses, I don't know.
I'm not sure. It sounds like younger voices to me.
That's not even my voices.
No?
It's not me.
It's probably Mark or me. And that's been recorded.
A wee woman just there was having a full-on speakerphone conversation with her friend, looking at the horse, just standing about there. So, I think she's moved on, but I said she was pushing a pram, so I just said there, look, you're welcome, but we're having a wee church service in here, so, and we can hear every word you say.
Did she laugh?
We said, oh, oh. Startled her. I don't think she knew anyone was here. 355, we'll start with that one. 355, what a friend we have in Jesus. You just never know who's listening, do you? No matter where you are.
You should have left them. And they dropped some message.
Book now as well. It's an old favourite, How Great Thou Art. Number one in the little black book, How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awe
It's easier whenever our Monica's playing because I can just say, sing a chorus, but when there's a verse and the chorus, it gets a bit tricky. Norman, pull me out here.
This evening's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kind affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which procureth you, blessed, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Or in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Some excellent verses in there. Present your body a living sacrifice, fully acceptable unto the Lord. And dearly beloved, give place unto wrath, for the twisting off of heads and kicking them down the street, that's the Lord's ballpark and not ours. So, amen. I appreciate that this evening. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Norman. And, amen. All right. Any additions to the prayer requests? Anybody got, keep praying about the banking details. Still waiting to hear from the bank regarding the change in signatories. So please do pray about that. And then once that's done, we can get everything else sorted out. Anything else we need to be thinking on, or anybody else we need? Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
Dave?
My brother-in-law, he is down with pneumonia, I think as a byproduct of having COVID. Would that be right? So please do pray. Dave, what's his, Catalano? I'll not hear names like that too many times in this neck of the woods, but Dave Catalano. Spelt like it says. P-M-E-A. So we would appreciate your prayers for him. He's not a bad lad. His brother-in-law calls him Super Dave. And I can't remember what he calls me. Mighty Mark or something like that.
Marvelous.
Marvelous Mark, that was it. That's Paul. That's the guy that rides the Harley Davidson. And belongs to a civilized motorbike gang. It really is a civilized motorbike gang. It's all working guys. They're what you might call weekend, not weekend, the equivalent of a weekend warrior, if you know what I mean. But anyway. Any other prayer requests? Anybody think of anything else? I would appreciate your prayers for McMahon family. They've been, I could read it off my phone, but I was threatened with a punishment beaten last night, and I was threatened with a solicitor's letter, and then I was threatened that Stephen was going to come up and give me a hiding.
Again?
So I'm just letting you know, these are the things that's going on in his head. And then his mother and his brother are that foolish that they actually listen to him whenever he's drunk. And no matter what I have done to try and help Stephen, whenever it comes to him pushing beyond, sitting on his backside doing nothing, it's a song and a dance. And just in case you haven't, on a number of occasions over the past few weeks, I have offered to camp out the back of the church with Stephen and just go through basic chores and basic things, and a bit of this and a bit of that and keep him busy all day, every day to get him off this, but he's not interested. So I'd appreciate your prayers for the McMahons, and pray for wisdom and patience for me, because if you pray for strength, I'm going to twist his stupid head off his thick shoulders.
Yeah, not the best thing, brother.
That's what I'm saying. Pray for patience and wisdom. Seriously though, do pray for him. It did annoy me a little bit last night, and I remember a church member about two decades ago threatening Pastor Fox here, and then another one threatened him up in Bangor with the lads. So I just told them to, they have my address, come on ahead, and never heard a thing, never saw a thing. So please do pray for Stephen. He's going to get himself killed one of these days, and I don't mean not by me, but just by doing something stupid. And pray for some sense for his mum and his brother, if you would. I think I just came to the conclusion that I'm just up to there with them. I've done so much for the McMahon family to have it every time I try to lend a hand to them. It's just thrown back in my face, so I
can I prophesy something?
What?
I know Kel's got an appointment coming up. I can guarantee.
I've already had that thrown back in my face. You're doing that because the appointment's coming up and you don't want to give her a lift over the time.
Oh, I forget it.
Sorry, what?
You are going to edit all
of this.
You
so.
What?
You're going to edit all of
this. No, that's staying in. I don't care. People have to know. Paul, he warned people about Hermogenes and Philetus whenever they were causing trouble in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So that's staying in. Just pray for them. They really do need they need sorting out. And just pray that the Lord does it and they let it happen. But they're in a bad situation right now, and they're not, they don't seem to want to be helped. So please do pray for them. Anything else? Okay. Everybody, yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
I have a blessing.
Yes, go for it.
The good report on my eye.
Yes, indeed.
Mm. And the fact that he said the risk is no greater than it was before the surgeries. Another. So I still shouldn't hit my head, but that was encouraging news.
We were both very happy about that this morning, let me tell you. All right. We'll have a word of prayer. Oh, nobody has nobody wants their name taken off private prayer requests of Monica and myself, Ling, Steve, Pat, Esther, Will and Norman. Has everybody still got private prayer requests?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. Right, yeah. Let's pray then. And then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day and for the lovely weather. And I just pray you, Lord, please be one of our number. I pray you, Lord, very especially this evening for the McMahon family. You know everything that's going on there, and we just want to leave it in your hands. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good news that Monica had, that her eyes are looking, well, fixed for the time being. And I just, Lord, looking forward to that lasting a long, long time. Glad to have Pat and Steve, Ling and Norman with us this evening. Pray you for Frank and Will and Christine and Esther and Christy, of course, and for Taylor. Pray just watch over each and every one of us, Lord, that you would even now speak to each one of our hearts and minds. Father, please just set Dave back up on his feet again and help him with his chest. Pray the same for Norman too. And Lord, for aches and pains that we may be having, for Steve's foot, for Pat's aches and pains too, Lord, for wee Jessica, for that skull, that she would continue to recover from it. Lord, there's so many things that we have in our hearts and minds, and I know you know what they are. For those that are private, I pray you, Lord, that you would grant them according to your will. For those that aren't, Lord, and all the rest of the ones we've written down, Lord, we pray that these would be granted according to your will too. For Stan and the folks in Bangor, for the Bissetts up in Temple Patrick, Lord, for the Cosgraves, wherever they might happen to be right now, kids for schools, for the Christian Institute, for all those that are out there doing your work, Lord, for the foxes, for the hens, for the asquiths, for the sealies, Lord, and for the many hundreds and thousands of men and women and children that are living for you, please put your good hand upon them this day. If there's a chastening that needs done, Lord, please chasten. If it's strengthening or comforting, Lord, I pray you for that too. For portions of wisdom for each and every one of us, and Lord, for a hindering of all those that are up to devilment, please stop them in their tracks, Lord. Be with our CD ministry folks, Lord. I think especially on Alan and Pearl, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Marie and Harry, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Joan, for Henry and Evelyn, and of course for Anne and Eddie, Lord. Please be with all these souls. We just love you and thank you, Lord. Please protect and keep Israel. Please, Lord, greatly convict the leaders of our countries about doing the right thing, about their eternities. Lord, you know what we need, and I pray that you would supply it, not just this evening, Lord, but for the rest of our lives. We love you and thank you, and we pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song. Big book. I think there was one, where is it, or did we sing it already? Where are you? Hymn number 119, 119, Till the Storm Passes By. If you'd like to stand, stand. If you would like to sit, just remain seated. But let's go.
Thank you.
indeed. Well, put your hymn books away, take your Bibles out if you would, and turn to John 13 this evening.
I think we should sing that again.
Good. Good.
No, I mean.
No. Good.
We love when someone's put
it. I never said that. I don't recall ever saying for you to chat away in the middle of the church service. Yeah,
sorry,
boy.
Sorry.
Just, there's just sometimes you don't need encouragement, Steve. Yeah, boy. I had an old Uncle Harry, and he was the consummate bachelor, and he always said, "Is that right, Mark? Yeah, boy." That was him. That was his catchphrase. And if you ever say that in our family, my two brothers worked for him in the hotel. My dad knew him as a cousin. He always said, "Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy." Anyway. A more sensible note, John 13, beginning at verse 1. I want to spend a few minutes this evening on the subject of an example. An example. Amen. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went from God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So, after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Verse number 15, if you hadn't guessed by now, is our text, where it says, For I have given you an example. That is our title for our message today, and that's our particular text verse. And just want to look at the example that Jesus has given to us. Let's pray again and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Just pray you, Lord, for peace in our hearts and minds right about this time as we take this time around your word. And please, Lord, be with our absent brethren. Just pray that you would just watch over them wherever they are and minister to them, Lord, at the point of their need. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and for your many precious promises, of which we lean on many of them tonight. And just, Lord, pray that your will be done. Please save souls. Please protect Israel. Please hinder those that hate her. And please bless those that love her. And, Lord, help us always to have an open ear for your leadership and for your guidance, Lord. Bless us now. and open our understanding of the scriptures, Father, and I pray for the words to speak as well. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is, I don't know, did anybody get to see the Christy and Taylor's wedding video? And you saw them doing the foot washing. I take it you did. That's where this is taken from. And their wedding, it was taken to mean that they were prepared to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty if needs be, helping the other person out. And that's pretty much what the Lord was showing his disciples here. There's a lot going on as this portion of God's word is written and as we're reading it. Pretty much Palm Sunday is just taking place. They're having the Last Supper. The Lord has just fulfilled a prophecy that was made 500 years previously in Zechariah chapter 9, where it said that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on an ass, the foal of an ass. That was in Zechariah 9:9. I think we mentioned this before as well, and fulfilled the prophecy of Daniel about the 483 years after the commandment from, I think it was King, was it Artaxerxes or Ahasuerus, to rebuild Jerusalem. 483 years, it said, that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem and he would be offered up, not for himself. And that happened like, oh goodness, maybe 1,000 years previous to this actually happening. So there's a lot going on. And on top of all of this, we see that, and just by way of a question, does anybody know how many apostles there were? Anybody know how many apostles? I'm not going to ask you to give me their names. I keep memorizing them.
12 disciples.
Well, they're the apostles. Does anybody know how many apostles there were? Are you going through their names, Steve? That's better than I could do. There were 14. There were the original 12, and it talks about Judas Iscariot. Actually, as we read here, it said the devil already hadn't been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot in verse 2. There was a chap named Matthias that took his place in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 1. And then there was Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. So that's 14. So if you're ever in a general knowledge quiz and somebody asks, the answer is not 12, it's 14. That's just a freebie. But that also was about to come true too. And that was made way back in the book of Psalms. So Psalm 109 verses 6 through 9, where it talked about somebody else taking his office. The Lord knew what was coming. It was hard times. In fact, there's even a record of the Lord. He was under so much stress and he was praying so fervently that tiny little blood vessels burst in his forehead by his sweat glands, and he sweat, the Bible records, great drops of blood. So, the example, it shows us what Jesus did, and they went along with it. Peter, of course, had to have his little 10 pence extra. And he says, well, he thought it was beneath the Lord to wash his feet. And he said, Lord, you shouldn't be washing my feet. And Jesus pretty much said, if I don't wash you, then you're none of me. And he was referring, of course, to salvation. And Peter goes on to says, well, obviously, if my feet are washed and I'm part of the Lord, it'll be even better if my hands and head are washed, and I'll be even better. And Jesus said, "You only need to be saved. You don't need anything else." That's pretty much what Jesus was saying. But the whole point of the matter was, he said, traditionally, you start a job, and you advance up through the levels, and you have people underneath you doing for you. Following orders, following your orders. Jesus said that's not the way it's going to be for Christians. If you were to read through Revelation chapter 2, there's twice that God says he hates that. I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate it whenever there's hierarchies where there's deacons and archdeacons and half deacons and canons and who knows how many, a dozen or more layers of people between the person leading the institution and the people that make up the institution. And Jesus says, I hate that. It removes people from people. People start to forget why it is they are where they are. And I'm not here to lead an army. I'm not here to have people running after me. I am here to do what God has called me to do, and that is to be a servant. A pastor is not a king. He's not a governor. Pastor is a minister, someone that helps, that ministers technically spiritually to the people. But we know that whenever you're walking with the Lord, that your spiritual state is reflected in your physical state. Anyway, Jesus said that's not the way it's going to be. We have to knuckle to and help each other, he said. And I want for you to see and to understand that, because I'm so far above you, you're like a grasshopper, and yet I'm doing this for you. Again, saying that he was the only one that could give himself on the cross to save us from our sins, which he did not long after. Anyway, I know, I'm almost certain, I'm not going to presume, sorry. Has everybody heard the portions of scripture or read them? I can't recall, is it in 1 Corinthians where it talks about each one of us having a different function in the church? Somebody's like a hand, somebody's like a foot, somebody's like an ear, an eye, and a nose. That's it. There's nobody as special. We're different, but we all make up the body of Christ. Some of us are talented computers, some of us are talented with our hands, some of us are just talented. I don't know. Some of us can bake, some of us can do other stuff. I don't know, but everybody has their thing to do. Jesus said, don't be afraid to do it, and it doesn't matter who it is. If you get an opportunity to serve, you should serve. And I'm not, there's many a time I literally have got dirt under my fingernails helping brothers and sisters out. There's other times I've sat hammering on a keyboard to help a brother or a sister out. It's just whatever way the Lord leads. And the whole point of it is that souls be saved. And it's a little bit like housewives. It's a greatly underrated career. But if it wasn't for good moms and housewives, there would be no people raised up that have level heads. We wouldn't know how people are supposed to treat each other, what it's supposed to be like home. And that's the example that Jesus left us. He left us his job. And you know what? If it was good enough for Jesus to do, let's be honest, he's the creator of the universe, certainly it's good enough for us to do. You'd think people would be beating his doors down to actually do that. So, the thing about it is, Jesus is the Messiah. He was the Messiah back then. He's still the Messiah. He's God Almighty incarnated in the flesh. As Isaiah 9 says, he's wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom, the Bible says, and I'm looking forward to that bit, there will be no end someday. But he spoke the entire of existence into being. Somebody once said, universe comprises two words. First one is one, and verse is word. Universe. God spoke everything into being with a word. I don't know what it was, but he did it. We're here today, and don't forget, this is the same guy that called us up from the dust, called birds and fish out of the water and out of the air, populated the entire world with all manner of creatures, could point a finger and order demons to get knotted and off you go and leave these people alone. And he did that many times. Walked in the water, raised the dead to life quite a few times, healed lepers, blind folks, dumb folks, lame folks, deaf folks, fed 5,000 plus people twice. He did all of this. And he said he could command 12 legions of angels. And he still got down and he washed his disciples' feet. And he didn't think that was an inconvenience. He didn't think it was humiliating. He knew it was necessary for them to learn a lesson. And that's a point where many of us, I know sometimes myself, sometimes we fail at that because we think the things that we need to do to help other people are beneath us. But anyway, it's something to think on. So the verse we're looking at is verse number 15, and the words are of Jesus, where he said, I've given you an example. I got to thinking, an example, we know that example, but there's more than just that one example in the Word of God. And I think, and I do believe it's borne out many times in the Gospels, we'll just be speaking about that, the Gospels, because it's about the life of Jesus. That it's a matter of getting involved, of rolling up your sleeves and getting involved, of helping. Many times I think it was whenever he met the woman at the well in John 4, it said he must needs go through Samaria. And he must needs go through somewhere else. He was always in the right place at the right time, and he always had the right words, and he always had the right deeds. It says at the end of the book of Mark that the disciples went everywhere preaching the word, signs and wonders following and confirming. I want for us to take a moment or two and look at the Gospels, and I want to share a little bit of Bible study knowledge that I picked up whenever I did, I think it was the ACE study of the Gospels. Now, we know there's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Sometimes they are categorized into Matthew, the book of Jesus the King, Mark, the book of Jesus the Servant, Luke, the book of Jesus the Man, and John, the book of Jesus the Son of God. And I want to look at those this evening and just think for a moment, even just on the Gospels, what example that Jesus gives us from these examples. The first one is Matthew, the Gospel of the King. So Jesus left us an example in him being viewed as a king. If we were to open at the beginning of Matthew and have a look, we see that David's lineage, if you like, is taken from King David forward. Mm-hmm. So he is in the line of the king. He is a king. And I got to thinking, and I suppose we have a prime example of how kings and queens behave and how other people don't behave. In our own news, we don't even have to go very far. We all know about this Harry and Meghan, how they are so hard done by. They must have choked on a silver spoon or something, and they've got so much money they need people to wheelbarrow it from Amazon to themselves, and they're having a hard time. Like, you have to admit, they're having a hard time. You couldn't make this stuff up. But they're supposed to be in the royal family. I'm going to tell you now, America can hardly stand them. Canada certainly can't stand them. And Australia, I think, has had it. They're fed up to the back teeth with them, as are most people in the United Kingdom. Except for some bleeding heart liberals, but we're not even worried about them this evening. How does a king behave? How does a common, everyday, entitled brat that should have been bent over their father's knee and beaten with sticks until they really said sorry behave? Well, we know that because all we have to do is watch the Oprah Winfrey show and look out for the next one, because Harry's going to open his heart to us all and tell us how hard done by. I got to fly helicopters well away from any trouble. I got a silver spoon in my mouth 3 times a day and once at supper time before bed. I got more money than you could shake a stick at. I got more people running after me than anybody in this world has any right to have. And my granny was awful and my dad was terrible to me. What does the queen do? She doesn't even stoop to that level of name calling and, as we say, slagging. Do you know why? Because she is a queen. She's stately. She has her duty to the country. She has a purpose. And she doesn't let the little things bother her. There's a difference by the way a king behaves or can behave and the way a member, an ordinary citizen, behaves or can behave. And I believe that not only does the Lord have a duty and a purpose and a service to the kingdom of heaven, but he is very stately and he doesn't let all the wee things that bother us bother him. And we ought to learn from that example. Most times people get bent out of shape investing in something that means nothing and then getting bent out of shape whenever someone threatens to take it away. Or someone threatens it in some form or fashion. And then you do a wee dance like Yosemite Sam, or they lie on the floor and bang their feet and kick their heels off the floor screaming and wailing until they get attention. But that's not how kings behave. That is not how royalty behaves. And Jesus never behaved like that. When they took away his home, what he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the king of man is nowhere to lay his head. Every time he laid down his head to sleep, it was in a borrowed bed. Even whenever he was laid to rest, it was only a borrowed tomb. He had no money to call his own. Judas Iscariot was a thief, and he was the treasurer. He was given every opportunity to do good, but he never did that. And yet in all, the Lord never berated him. In fact, he said, "That thou doest, go and do quickly," he said to him. He wasn't mean to him. We know that Jesus loves everybody the same. And his duty was A, to the Father, and B, to you and me. He was to obey his Father in heaven so that we could be saved. That was his duty. It certainly wasn't his pleasure, and it was his purpose. Service to the King of Kings by the Son of the King of Kings. That's what I was. Now I'm sure you could think of other things that kings and queens do. They lead their troops. They provision their troops. They look out for them. They manage them the very best, realizing that every life is precious. That's what kings do for their country. At least that's what they should be doing. I'm sure there's a few other things you could think of. Jesus in his kingly state. The Bible says he sits even now at the right hand of God on the throne that's prepared for him, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. But he's not sitting twiddling his thumbs. He's sitting there fighting our corner for us. Anyway, let's move on. It's coming up on 5 to 8. The book of Mark. It's the lion, the ox, the man and the eagle, the king, the servant, the man and the son of God. Mark is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the servant. And you can search the whole way through the book of Mark and you won't find where the lineage of Jesus in there at all. Where he comes from, it's not important because people don't care where a servant comes from. Only that he serves and carries out his duty. If you were to read in the book of Mark, you will read the words straight away, forthwith and immediately over and over and over and over again. It's almost as if, and you'll notice that Mark's one of the shorter of the, I think it's the shortest of the Gospels. That's because there's a lot of background stuff that's not there, just the deeds of Jesus Christ, the servant, executing his Father's duty at every turn. And he reminds us that we need to do the things that we are commanded to do. Not by me. I don't write out all the things that you're supposed to do every week. God already did that. He put that in the book And if you're reading this book, you will find what God wants you to do. But that's what we need to be about. Not worrying who sees us. People will see us from time to time, but a lot of our Christian lives is like the iceberg. They'll see the 10%, but they'll miss the 90% that sits under the water, the heartbroken prayers and the grieving hearts. And people don't see those things, but they see how we act outside. And it said in Matthew, to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about us. The servant is not bringing glory to himself. The servant is bringing glory to his master. And his thought is always to the glory of his master. And that reminds us the way we're supposed to be. If you can see some of these guys with their two jet airplanes and a new Mercedes for every day of the week, and I remember one of these Joel Van Osteen, one of these charismatic whoop-de-doos, who disappeared off the map for a month, and when he came back, he looked about 20 years younger. He'd gotten himself a facelift. Because you know how preachers need facelifts. But what was happening, he was crying over, it was a miracle. He was crying over all the prayers that came in, that the ink actually ran up the tears and into his eyes, and he had to get plastic surgery to take away the ink around his eyes. And people suck this stuff down. How stupid can you be? But anyway, it's not about me. It's about my Father. My only desire is to make sure that I execute my duty properly. And this, maybe it's a fault, but whenever I come to church, you could tell me the lottery numbers, you could tell me your bank account and your PIN number, and the only thing I'll be thinking on until about 8:15 is making sure I get the message delivered, because that is my duty tonight. And after that, everything up until that, it'll be a blank. The service might even be a blank come 8:30 or 8:15. But that's my duty and I need to get that done. But I want for you to understand too that a good master provides for his servant. The servant doesn't go out just like the soldier doesn't go out at their own expense, but at the expense of their master. And I'm sure there's other aspects of Jesus Christ, the servant, that you can think of that do apply to us as well. But I just want to draw your attention to that. And it's a little bit like looking at people from different angles. If you look at me that way, I'm that thin. If you look at me this way, I'm that thin. If you look at me up there, I'm only that size. You get the idea. If you look at people from different directions, you see them differently. And we're just looking at Jesus these four different ways. Bible also says in the book of Luke that this is the gospel of Christ the man. And if you were to read the lineage or the birthright, you will see that it comes from the Father's side. In other words, in order for Jesus, and in fact Jesus' brothers and sisters, to claim their birthright, they had to know where they came from. That was important. And to me, this speaks of Jesus Christ, the man that wept. We were reading in John 11:35 that Jesus grieved for the grief and the loss that Mary and Martha suffered whenever Lazarus died. Maybe I heard a preacher say one time also for Lazarus having to go through that twice. But he was a man. How many times, remember whenever he was risen from the dead? And he says, have you anything to eat? And they give him fish and broiled fish and a bit of a honeycomb. He even ate with them on the seashore where Peter was forgiven those three times. He had his needs just like the rest of us. Clothing, food, water, somewhere to put his head down and sleep. He had all of those needs. And you know what? We have those needs as well. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we immediately need to move up into a wee tin hut on the top of a hill and wear those itchy robes and shave the top of our heads like Friar Tuck. We don't have to do that. I don't know about you, but Simply being a pastor has never paid a bill in Tesco or Lidl's or Asda or Sainsbury's. You still need money. Electricity board is not accepting prayers. They're still expecting pound notes. And likewise, the vehicle tax people, and when you put a few gallons of diesel, we all need these things. And there is a very real need to tend to our physical bodies, just as well as we tend to our spiritual bodies. But that doesn't mean we can just behave like everybody else. There's a great little parable in the Gospels. Don't ask me where it is right now. The parable of the mustard seed. And it talks about it being the tiniest of seeds, but it grows to the greatest of herbs, so that just like the other trees that grow all about, the birds of the air will come and make their nests in it. To all intents and purposes, it's just another tree, and that is the same as you and me. We don't live our lives like other people. We don't drink and smoke, and we don't go around carousing and fighting, even though we're sorely tempted to do so. We don't do drugs except those ones that we need. And by that I'm talking like blood pressure and one thing and another. We live our lives circumspectly the way God would like for us to live our lives. So that people can point us and say, how come you don't need the drink? He says, because I am filled not with wine wherein is excess, because I've got the Holy Spirit inside. How come it is you don't need to go and fight and row and shout? He says, because I'm going to inherit the whole of creation. What is a few quid or sitting at the top of a pile of unconscious bodies going to get me better than that? When people see you getting up early on a Sunday morning and going out and they're still recovering from a hangover, you're still marking the same amount of time, but you're doing it the way God wants it done. There is a way to live in this life and still be a testimony to God. We should remember that. One of the ones that always springs to my mind is, two actually, is walking out of B&Q. Maybe I shouldn't say this. People be thinking I go into B&Q and walk out with stuff in my pockets. But I purposely didn't take a basket, because if you take a basket, you just put more stuff in it. So I was holding everything in my arms, and I thought, this thing kept falling out. So I put it in my pocket, and I walked through, and I paid for everything else. And Monica said, did you remember the sewer snake thing? It's in my pocket. I forgot to pay for it. Just see the papers, local pastor lifted for shoplifting sewer snake. So I went back in, and they said, not too many people would do that, they said to me. I said, well, the thing about it is, I have a God that watches over me, and if I knowingly left with that, I would never see any good out of it. So here's the money for it, and God loves you, and there's a wee gospel tract. Or giving someone back their, they've given you change of 20, and you only give them a tenner. What do you do? I've heard of folks in Christian circles saying, I thank the Lord for the extra £10. That's someone has to pay for that. That comes out of somebody's wages, or that's a half pence added on to every loaf of bread that they sell for the next week. Someone has to pay for that. Pardon? I heard another man that sold his testimony on the reverse side of that, for the price of £3.50 or £4. There is a way to live your life to bring glory to God. He will give you wisdom as you go, but it's worth knowing. This fella, particular fella, started cursing and swearing for the sake of £3.50. And the devil can just get in there and he can pull the wool over your eyes so quick. You and I wouldn't even know, wouldn't even think about it until the deed's done. We need to remember these things. Another one was, I don't know if you've ever had, you know, the drunkards that live under the bridge, as they say. Mister, can you spare me a pound for a cup of tea? He says, I'll do one better. Come on with me and I'll buy you a cup of tea and a sandwich. And then take the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. There's a way to live your life with the physical things in this world. Last one I want to look at very briefly is John, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I am sure there were many days whenever the Lord walked on this earth, he was just thinking of home. No sin, no trouble, everybody doing exactly what he tells them to do, everything beautiful and clean and pure. And that's what we have to look after, because the Word of God says, Christian, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a joint heir with Christ. You get to inherit it all. It's worth remembering that. A place to walk and talk with the Lord face to face. There have been very, very few people in the whole history of man have had that honor. Moses was one, Joshua was another, Adam was another, and there were a few back there as well. Place with no sin. If you read Revelation 22, the Word of God says people that love these sins more than they love the Lord, they're not even getting in there. We have a heavenly Father that loves us just like he loves his Son.
Amen.
Saved us through his Son, forgave us as well, and wants the very best for us. And you know what? This world isn't our home. This is not our final resting place. I know whenever we go into our houses that it's nice to be able to shut the door and to have a break from the world, but even then, we've still got the stupid thoughts that whip through our heads. We've still got the stuff on TV that it shows whenever we're not expecting it, or in the newspapers. But someday, there is a home to go to in heaven. And do you know what special privileges Jesus Christ had? He was able to go into the very presence of God. And so can we. Because you're saved, because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can talk to the Lord at any time in your life, at any place in your life. That's yours. You can call for help, and God will answer. He sends angels, they are ministering spirits, sent to help you and me. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get like magical armor with a shield and a sword and a big winged horse with lightning dancing across it and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just the taking away of a fear or a worry. Other times it's, as they like to say, a coincidence that just so happens. We have access to heaven itself any time and any place. We also need to remember that we are ambassadors here and that we are to behave ourselves accordingly, not with the rules of this world, because if that was the case, we'd be beating the living daylights out of a great many people and stealing and lying and cheating and idolatering and adulterating and one thing and another. We live by different standards. There is a reason why the Lord said that he would preserve his word. He promised to preserve his word so that we can read it for when we need it. Now, and just like our big brother, we got his job. Whenever I was little, 13 years old, I went to work in my uncle's hotel. And for the next 4 or 5 years, it was just me. I was the only Bradfield in the Avoca Hotel. And then my wee brother came along and he got a job there. And then whenever I was gone, my other little brother came along and he got a job there. And I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, but it was a formative experience in the life of a lost man to work in the hotel of your uncle, to know that he was watching over you and he would keep you right. And he did. But just like that, the Lord has a job for his little brothers and sisters. He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the last thing he said to us was, go and preach the gospel to every creature so that they can get saved too. Now, I want to finish with a couple of Bible verses. I know we spoke about hardly any doctrine, just the gospels. How Christ the King was an example to us. Remember, our lineage is children of the King of Kings. Christ the Servant is our example, that we need to be obedient to God and execute as well as and when. Christ the Man, we have needs, we have things that we need to do here in this world. We are destined for heaven, but we have a life here to lead to. And Christ the Son of God, remember that. We are the children of God. We are Christians. In John 4 and 42, we were talking about the woman at the well earlier on. The men that the woman had been associated with in her day said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And it's worth remembering that. And our Father said in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The last three words are, hear ye him. That's the example. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. One last song to sing and then we're finished for the evening. So if you'd like to take your hymn books, that I have, there it is there. Hymn number 185. If you're able, let's stand as we sing about my Saviour's love. I stand amazed in the prayer. Drop. Folks, we'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please bless the thinking on and the pondering and the studying of your word to us this night. And Lord, wherever anybody else is doing it, Lord, open their understanding. Ours too, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we commit it to our hearts and let it work, its supernatural work in there, Lord. And Lord, take and use it to change us into the people you need for us to be. We just love you and thank you, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, for letting you down where we have. Work in our hearts and minds, cleanse us and refresh us. And Lord, we want to provide our bodies a living sacrifice. Thank you for the Bible reading, for the hymns, for the tithes and the offerings, the time around your word, Lord, and for the diligence and faithfulness of each soul here tonight. We love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, tip toes, tap elbows, all that stuff.